This is KCUR 89.3. Nestled between Kansas City's downtown business district and the River Market area are a bunch of buildings that once literally hummed with the sound of fashion. From the 1940s through the 1970s, Kansas City had one of the largest garment industries in the nation. A small museum on the corner of 8th and Broadway, which was once in the heart of the district, displays some of the clothes and machinery from that era. As the museum expands across the street, KCUR's Laura Ziegler found some people with firsthand stories of what that small district was like back in its heyday.
Steve Glorioso worked as a packer in his father's company, Crest Originals, as a teenager in the late 1940s. The son of Sicilian immigrants, Joe Glorioso, owned the popular dress line made on the second floor of a building at 8th and Main.
The first floor was Hammer Brothers, and they sold zippers, and so they had a gold mine sitting in the middle of the garment district.
The young Glorioso could see it all from the open windows in the non-air-conditioned loft.
And I had a great view of 8th Street and May Street.
There were milliners and button manufacturers, names like Nellie Don, that still are recognized as a distinguished part of local garment history lore. The district was a beehive of activity.
People going up and down the block, you'd see men carrying big bolts of material. You'd see people with rolling racks, two-inch pipes made into wheels and bar and hang dresses on the top and moving product from one factory to another, maybe.
Glorioso was an anomaly as an Italian among the mostly Jewish owners. But ethnicity didn't matter to the young Glorioso. He loved making deliveries to the upscale clothes stores.
My dad would say, all right, here's 20 dresses on a rolling rack to take them to Harsville's or Adler's, which were local companies in the Petticoat Lane area.
Many of these clothes were not sold locally. They were sold to small mom-and-pop shops across the rural Midwest. Joe Glorioso, a designer trained at the Kansas City Art Institute, would go to New York and sketch dresses in the windows along Fifth Avenue. He'd come back and modify them for his rural, more modest clientele.
Well, I remember his biggest seller was a sailor dress, a sailor collar on a dress, and he customized that down. A hemline he would change, kind of widened the girth of the dress, and it was his number one seller for years.
Kansas City-based salesmen would fan out across Kansas and Missouri, Oklahoma, Iowa, and Nebraska.
And the store buyer was generally the owner of the store.
That's Harvey Freed, whose family owned the Freed Siegel Company. He also went to work for his dad in the late 1940s, selling coats and suits for juniors. Early on, his father sent Harvey with samples to Eagleville, Missouri.
So I said, where's Eagleville, Missouri?
The older Freed said, just take Highway 69.
And if you hit the Iowa state line, you know, you've gone a mile too far.
When he got to the town and learned it had a population of 70, he was worried. But he found the town square thriving with three or four women's clothes stores.
And I still remember our customer name is Pearson Clothing Company, and I went in and I saw Mr. Pearson. He was nice enough to buy something from me.
Back then, these salespeople, they knew their buyers, and their buyers knew their customers.
We'd show a sample line, and somebody said, oh, I'd like it. That looks great. You know, Mabel Jones, she liked that in green.
The downside of that was that Mr. Pearson also knew Mabel wouldn't want anyone else in town to have that green dress, and he'd only buy one. Another successful local company was Youthcraft Coats and Suits. By the time the company closed in 1983, its coats with their fabric buttons and fur collars were in stores from Dallas to New York. Owner Leon Carrison employed 450 people, including 95-year-old Alice Vogt.
I was on the machine until my husband died. And then Mr. Carrison called me into the office. And he said, we've been after you ever since you came to go on the floor. And I said, I don't think I can do it. He said, we all believe you can.
And so Alice Vogt became the supervisor of 42 people on the factory room floor. Still today, she remembers who worked where and who did which jobs.
The small parts, pocket cuff or something, Joe DeSimone had that. And she was over here.
Putting her finger on an imaginary floor plan on her dining room table. She still talks to her team members who are alive and says they take pride in having created clothes that became popular across the country.
They were just well made. You felt like that you were accomplishing something. Yeah.
There is kind of a resurgence of a fashion scene in Kansas City, but it's still very much a niche market. Maybe the expansion of the Garment Industry Museum downtown will inspire local designers as it draws attention to an industry that was once a major economic driver in Kansas City. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Laura Ziegler.